Well, I think that that song is a good one for us to start on, because we need God not just in our daily lives, but we need him to be able to tell us a new thing about himself. And that's why I hope you're here today, to learn something new about God and his love for you. So I'd like to open us in prayer before we get going. Dear Lord, we need you. Yes, we need you. Every hour, every second, we need you. You are our one defense, our only righteousness. You lead us on the paths of righteousness. You guide us to safety, not because of our name's sake, but because of your name's sake. Please open our eyes to hear or see what you have for us. Open our ears to hear from you. Thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you are wondering, we are continuing our look at Psalm 23 in our kids' book. So, yeah, our pew Bibles are not kids' books, but every week I try to have a story for the kids because it corresponds to Psalm chapter 23. So this one, good, the picture is there. This one is chapter number 5. It's called, He Leads Me in Paths of Righteousness for His Name's Sake. Incidentally, that is the title of the adult message too. So listen to the kids one and you'll get something out. Kids, listen to the adult one and you'll get something out of it. Okay, well here it goes. My friend, and if you remember who my friend was, my friend was the little sheep that was taken care of. That's a bad word, because the shepherd that she had didn't take care of her. But still, my friend stood at the fence and watched wistfully as the good shepherd began to guide his sheep to another pasture. The shepherd knew that the silly sheep will eat in the same spot even when all the grass is gone and there's nothing left but roots. So he was ready to move his sheep to another pasture where there was fresh grass. My shepherd never thinks, oh, this is the other sheep. I'm sorry. I try to keep the voices straight because that's important. My shepherd never takes us to a different pasture, and this pasture became nothing but hard ground, my friend thought. Suddenly, she made a decision. Hoping no one would notice, she ducked her head under the fence and began trying to wiggle through to the other side. But the space between the bottom board of the fence and the ground was smaller than my friend had thought. Soon she was stuck. The more she squirmed, the more frantic she became. She could hardly breathe and bleated pitifully. My friend Shepherd was sleeping under a tree, but the commotion woke him. He was very irritated, and as he ambled toward her, Sammy Shepherd also saw my friend's predicament, but he ran to the fence. Sammy ran over when he realized that it was my friend struggling under the fence. My friend Shepherd yelled and lifted his rod to strike her. But Sammy's shepherd arrived just in the nick of time. Wait, don't hurt her. I'll get her out, he said. She's just a worthless sheep, her shepherd sneered. And now she's trying to run away. She's not worth saving. The good shepherd reached down and gently dug some dirt from under my friend. Sammy, the other sheep, tried to reassure her. It's okay, he said. My shepherd will get you out. Finally, the shepherd freed my friend from the fence. He picked her up and held her tenderly in his arms. I will buy him from you, he said to the other shepherd. Why do you want her? She's so sickly she'll probably die. The good shepherd smiled. Maybe so, but I love her and I want her to be one of my sheep. He paid the man and began to walk across the pasture, holding the dirty, sickly sheep. Sammy skipped along beside the shepherd, bursting with happiness. As he walked, the shepherd whispered to my friend, Now you belong to me, he said. The only way you could become part of my flock was for me to redeem you, to buy you. But from now on, you are mine. No one can ever take you away from me, and I will never leave you, and I will always lead you to good paths. Now, he grinned, what shall I name you? My friend tingled with excitement as she waited. She could see the love in her shepherd's eyes as he thought about her name. Of course! He said, I will name you Precious, because you are precious to me. Her eyes welled with happy tears. Precious, My name is precious, she thought. I am precious to the shepherd. For the first time in her life, she felt safe and loved. She was full of gratitude, and in her heart she said, Now I belong to a good shepherd. I shall not want for anything. He will make me lie down in green pastures, and he will lead me beside the still waters. He will restore me when I'm cast down, and he'll lead me in the good paths. So that's the end of our story today about how the good shepherd leads us on good paths. Next week, we actually are talking about the valley of the shadow of death, where it's a scary place, but it's just a shadow. So we'll learn about that chapter next week. Well, for today, if you have your Bibles, it would be great for you to turn to Psalm chapter 23. It's basically in the middle of your Bible. It seems like what most of the Bibles open up to. And Psalm 23 is cool because it's only 100 words, and in the Hebrew, it's actually only 55 words. Not many words that make a big difference. It seems to sum up all of our needs in this life and the abundance of God's grace. It begins with the Lord and ends with forever. What could be better than that? Well, let's read Psalm 23 together, and since we haven't had a moment yet, it would be worth standing while we do it. So if you could stand, we're going to read this as a group. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He stores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you. You can be seated. Well, our verse has just a few words in it. And the first three that we have to look at is, he leads me. So there's one thing about sheep that's really interesting is that they do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting to get new results. Does that sound a little like people? So what they would do, they would walk in the same paths over and over again until they make ruts. The rain would come, it would fill the paths, they would still use it. The parasites would come, parasites would jump onto the sheep would have problems. They would drink that water, they would get in their stomachs. They do this over and over again. So sheep, by themselves, they can't take care of themselves. They can't defend themselves because anything can come up, but even a squirrel can scare it. So the shepherd is the one that has to take care of it. So one of the shepherds that we've been following won his first sheep pasture when he bought it. It was by a tenant farmer, which means just a person that was there taking care of sheep. But he just let the sheep do whatever they wanted, and they made the flock or the pasture in disrepair. So it took him a long time to fill in the holes, to put new seed in the ground, to get rid of the mud and the parasites. It took a lot of effort on his part as the shepherd that cared for his sheep. Sheep are notorious creatures of habit, and they're a lot like us. I think that's why the Bible says, oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We are very sure in our decision-making. We're going to follow it. We're going to do it. And sometimes it's dead wrong. Sheep like to play follow the leader. So they kind of follow the one in front of them and the one in front of them. But then eventually they get lost. I think we do that. We call it peer pressure. Or we look at someone else and we're like, wow, I want to be like them. So that you're going to do it. It's exactly like sheep. Sheep are followers, and the interesting thing is that they have no sense of direction. If they got about 10 yards away from their pasture, you know what would happen? They would be lost. 10 yards, that's 30 feet. That's from that wall to that wall, basically. And the sheep would be like, I don't know what to do. One of the shepherds said that his sheep got out from his backyard pasture. He only had 5 sheep. And they were grazing on this grass and ended up on the side of the street grazing the sidewalk grass. His friend called him and said, I think these are your sheep. So they went out immediately to go get the sheep and bring them back. But the sheep wouldn't have known how to get home on their own. They're not like dogs. So it's all about the shepherd. And one thing about the shepherd is that the shepherd's with the sheep day in and day out. He is one that knows his sheep so well, he actually calls them all by name. And they know him so well that they come when he talks. It's a little different for our society now where shepherds seem like they go home for the night or this and that. But back in Jesus' culture, what they would do is they would be with the sheep all the time. During the fall and winter months, they would be more close to home. But in the spring and summer months, or I might be mixing a little bit, they would have to go sometimes hundreds of miles away. That's where the guy we know as Joseph, the coat of many colors, when his dad sent him out to go check on his brothers, he went about 100 miles away because that's where they were raising their sheep. So you know this. They walk away and they come back because they have to find the pasture land for them. It's all about the shepherd. I know we say that over and over again, but it's really important. And then the other thing about these sheep getting led is that they aren't driven like we do here in America. We get a horse, we get a dog, sometimes even a car, and we push the sheep forward like that they don't have a will, like they aren't worth anything. You just kind of drive them forward because you're the master in charge, and they have to do what you say. But the Middle Eastern way of doing it, or the Oriental way, is that the shepherd, who knows his sheep so well, just has to call on them, and they follow him. He, as the leader, goes before them. He knows the path, and they follow him because they trust their good shepherd. That's what David is implying when he's writing this. He says God doesn't push us along. He doesn't drive us along. He leads in the front in the paths that he already knows of where he wants us to go. He's been all over the ground that we have to walk on. And what I mean by that is a shepherd has to go out into the new pastures. He has to walk the ground in order to be able to understand if it's safe for his sheep to come and walk across. And a shepherd, he can't afford to lead his flock into dead-end canyons or into an area where there's no water or that it's off limits. He can't take them into barren wastelands or into a fenced area because they're going to get trapped. He can't backtrack with them because that's impossible with lots of sheep because they'll get lost. They can't wander around in circles. He has to know where he is going and he has to know the route. He has to go before the flock, check the pathway, lead them in the right routes with confidence and in safety. If he doesn't do that, did you know that sheep would die within a day or two? So it's all about the shepherd planning the paths for the sheep. And he goes out and he does it. Okay, you got that. He leads me, right? Now, what about in paths of righteousness? Well, the word paths, Warren Wiersbe says that they're well-worn routes. And you don't have to stick with that per se, but most of our highways were born on the routes that the sheep and the cattle would go on. They would make trails like the ruts they always do because they go to their winter land and then they come back. So these are the well-worn paths, the paths of righteousness that the sheep are taking on. The word righteous, okay? Kids, do you know what big word is in the word righteous? And I give you a hint, it starts with an R. I'll say it slower. Righteous. Any guesses? What do you think, Twyla? Were you going to say right? Because that's right. Good job. Okay, so the word right is in there. If God is leading, or if the shepherd is leading the sheep on the paths of righteousness, the paths have to be right for the sheep. And that's what it is. The paths are the ones that the shepherd has made for the sheep so that they don't get lost or hurt or have problems on the way. So they're always cared for, even if it means going through the valley of the scared shadow of death. For us, that means that they're the right paths that God has for us. They represent his direction and his will for us. He loves us and he leads us specifically, personally, intimately, and down to the details of our life. That's how much our good shepherd, the one we know as God the Father, does. But there's a second thing. So you have right paths. It's the right one for you. But it's the paths of righteousness. So that doesn't mean that you're going to become a Christian just by doing these things. It's not that these righteousness paths are the ones that make you into a saved person. But it means that they're paths that God has planned out to help you live a better life for him. For when people look at you, they can see that there's something different, something special about you that makes you different. And they ask, okay, why are you different? So it's all about holy living, right living before God. So the right paths that God picks out and the right living before God. You're already halfway through the verses. Now we got to, for his name's sake. And when he says that, how many of you remember the 10 plagues in Egypt? How many of you raising your hands remember the 10 plagues in Egypt? Joel, yes, and Amy, and Winston, I'm glad you're an elder, so that's good. You know this. Okay, just as a refresher course then, Israel, they were just a fledgling nation, right? So God, he was wanting to give them an incubator, a way to be able to grow and expand. And when Joseph, the guy who walked 100 miles to get to his brothers, the shepherds, when they didn't like him, they threw him to a pit. But instead of killing him, they sold him as a slave. He goes to this place called Egypt. And in Egypt, God blesses him, even though bad things happen to him. And over the course of time, he is able to rescue his family. And they grow and grow and grow until there's millions of people. Finally, God hears their cries because in the middle of that time, the Pharaoh had put them to work building tombs and buildings and maybe even the pyramids. All because they were getting too plentiful and he was afraid they would take over. So God heard their cries and said, okay, I'm going to send someone named Moses. He's going to be me for you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send 10 plagues upon Egypt. Well, the first plague was sent and Pharaoh said, okay, you can go. But then he changed his mind. The second plague was sent. Pharaoh said, okay, you can go. But he changed his mind. Third plague, you can guess, same thing. As the plagues went on, nothing was happening. And then finally at the 10th plague, the plague where the firstborn son would be killed, that's when Pharaoh relented and said, okay, now you can go. So why didn't God use the 10th plague first? That is, why is because he told Moses before it even happened so that the Egyptians can know that I am God, so that they can know my name as I am. So sometimes we have to see all these things happen before we realize that God was the one in control. So when he says he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, he's doing it so that he can be glorified. But the interesting thing about God, I think we can't comprehend, is that even when he gets glory, he doesn't deny that he takes care of us and loves us so completely. And so he does it for his name's sake while caring about us. And I think that that's pretty amazing, especially in our uncertain age when none of us knows what will happen in the next 60 seconds. I think we can be put at ease that our good shepherd is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows the future as full as he knows the past. He knows the plans he has for us, and every twist and turn has been anticipated. So there's two ways we can do it. There's the sheep way, and then there's the shepherd way. The sheep way, you already know it, but it's following the same ruts, following the same paths, thinking that something's going to be different. The shepherd's way is saying, follow me. I'm going to lead you on these paths to this good new pasture land, and you'll be taken care of. One of the cool things about sheep is that when they get to the pasture land, even the old ones will skip and jump because they're so excited about the new area. Sometimes they have to move week after week after week in order to take care of the sheep. But the shepherds, they don't mind because they care about their sheep. They love them. Well, what about us? There is a verse in Isaiah that says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has gone to his own way. This basically means, I want what I want. I want it now. I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want someone else telling me what to do about it. That's what that verse means. So just as sheep blindly and habitually, stupidly follow one another along the same little trails until they become ruts, erode into gullies filled with water, so we humans cling to the same habits that we see ruin other people's lives. Has that ever happened to you? You do the same thing over and over and over again. It's hard. But in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, it says that there's a way that seems right to a man or woman, boy or girl, but in the end it leads to death. In contrast, Christ the Good Shepherd says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. When a sheep is lost and out there, a shepherd doesn't just say, okay, well, them's the breaks, and leaves them. They actually make sure the other sheep are taken care of by the other hands, and they go out. They use their shepherd's crook, their shepherd's rod or staff, to hook the animal, to be able to catch him or keep him safe. Sometimes they're up on cliffs, and he has to go and find them, sometimes after days of searching. And then he has to grab them and save them and bring them back. Lots of times, he actually has to break the lamb's leg. And you think, okay, that is a bad way to do it. But what they do, he puts the lamb on his shoulder. And as they're walking back, he's talking to the lamb the whole time. He says, Lammy, why did you walk away from me? Lammy, didn't you know that I had everything taken care of? Didn't you know that I really love you? And, you know, your wool is getting a little long. I'll take care of that for you. And what about those flies that are getting in your nose? Did you know I have some ointment for that little lammy? I'm going to put that on you too. And so they reach the others. And as the sheep continues to get better, he continues to keep it with him and talk to it the whole time until finally he's restored. And you know what the sheep is after that time? He's one of the quickest to respond to the shepherd. The principle is that sometimes we go astray, and God is looking for us. It says that he's not willing for any of us to perish, but for all of us to come to realize that he's the good shepherd that loves him. He goes out of his way to go find us. And one of the parables Jesus said, it's like the shepherd that has 99 or 100 sheep, leaves the 99, finds the one, and they throw a party for it. That's what Christ, the good shepherd, is doing for us. It's nothing we did. We were the ones that walked away following the other sheep into these paths of yuckiness. But Christ, the good shepherd, brought us back and says, you have this home with me. I've got you taken care of. These are the paths of righteousness. Just follow me. If that's something you've never thought about before, realize a few things. One, that God loves you so immeasurably. You know, a few weeks ago, I wondered if I had worth as a person. And what God does is he reminded me through the birds of the air, bring me to the lowest point that I could go, so that when I looked up and saw the birds flying around, I thought, okay, well, they're just following their instincts. They're just going after the bird, or they're chasing off another bird that's around their nest. They're trying to fill their bellies and fly in the sky. But the verse came to my mind and says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in their pantries, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? We are like those sheep that have wandered away. We are the ones that the shepherd is going after. So if you feel that you don't know this good shepherd, he is the one that's calling out to you, asking for you to hear him. And it's all him. Would you be willing to put your guard down and say, here I am? Because I promise he'll talk to you. And then the second application we can take away is that our good shepherd, God the Father, leads us in the right paths. He's been over every single inch of the path that we have to walk on. Just like a shepherd, he knows what's forward and what's backward. We call it the upper story. We've talked about it all year. The lower story is our story. We see it forwards and backwards, just our little perspective. But God, he sees the whole timeline. He says, okay, you're going through these difficult things because I need you to be able to help this person at that time. You're going through this challenge because I need you to be this kind of person when you have this difficulty. Hebrews 13:21 says, God has equipped you for every good work. Psalm 139:16 says, God knew all of your days before you were even born. Ephesians 2:10 says, you are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do the good things that he has for you to do that were set up before time began. So you see, he was the shepherd that before time began looked out on every single one of our paths, said, okay, these are the right paths for you to lead you into my righteousness. That's what God is doing for you. One of the things I have found more, I guess, interesting or helpful lately. There's a lot of, I guess, people that haven't been around. So my mother-in-law has had cancer for 2 and a bit years now. She was supposed to pass away after 6 months. She's not. So for 3 years before that, we had a lot of challenges. But the last few months have been really hard. Like, you make a plan and you immediately have to break it. So we got to where we thought we had low expectations, but even those low expectations weren't low enough to be broken. I know as humans we have hopes and expectations, so we don't want to get that to go away, but sometimes life just happens upon you rather than life happening with you. Our prayer lately has been, God, I know that tomorrow we don't know what's going to happen, but I thank you that you're already there, preparing it for us, so that when we get there, it's what we need. That's what we need to find out. And that's something that we as a family are having to do. I'm sure that you guys are going through very same or similar things. I mean, God says, I will take care of you. I will provide for all your needs, and sometimes it's not the way that you want it. But first and foremost, he wants to provide for your spiritual needs. And sometimes that takes you making a quiet time, a decision to calm yourself before God and learn something new about him. Even if it's just reading one verse, that's all. God just wants to be like the sheep that have been given this water, the water that's found in the cool of the morning, on the grass, the dew forming there. And as the sheep eat the grass, they drink up the water. They have the green pastures, the still waters, and it fills them up. That's what spending time with the shepherd does. It can fill you up. And we can hear his voice and understand him. There's one final story from another shepherd. And he had a smaller flock, but still he was a good shepherd nonetheless. This is where it begins. Later, after Ethel and the other sheep were gone, and those are the other sheep, only Lucy was left. She became so old and feeble that she was virtually blind. She often ran into the gate or fence because she couldn't see anything, though her woolly head seemed to absorb those soft collisions without injury. I think she could see shades of darkness or light, but for all practical purposes, she was blind. Yet there was nothing wrong with her hearing. Sheep have been said to have keen hearing. They're able to hear very high pitches, and it's cool. They use each ear separately to tune into and pinpoint sound from a specific direction or source. When I'd walk down the hill toward the pasture to give her some oats or sweet feed, I always knew the moment she heard me coming. Usually it was when I opened the gate. The chain would rattle against the gate as it opened, and Lucy's head would shoot up in my direction. She wouldn't move until she heard my voice. But when I called her, she would always take a tentative step in my direction. I have to keep talking to her because otherwise she'd get off track. She'd go on her wayward course, so I'd keep calling her. This way, Lucy, right here. Come on, I've got something good for you. She followed the sound of my voice, and that kept her on the right track. That kept her, in the words of Psalm 23, in the paths of righteousness. In a few moments, she would be at my feet. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said in John 10:27, and I know them and they follow me. We can't see very well, and especially into the future. We see through a glass darkly, as the Bible puts it. We can't see 5 seconds into the future, but our Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. So we need God. Oh yes, we need him. Every hour and every second we need him. But he's the one that calls out to us over and over again. Come here, my wayward child. Come here. Come to me. I've got great things for you. And that's what he says to you. Let's pray. Dear God, thanks for being our good shepherd. And, you know, none of us raise sheep, I don't think. So it's kind of abstract to us. But when we look at these stories and see how, dumb the sheep are, and the shepherds still reach out to them, it's hard not to see us in them, how we do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, thinking that the world will suddenly be all right. But you're saying, okay, follow me. I have the right paths for you that will lead you into the right things. Please help us to pause a moment to be able to take this in, to hear you, and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to go right into the benediction. So if you could stand. And our benediction is found also in the book of Psalms, and it's chapter 31. This one happened to be written by David as well. Psalm 31, verse 3. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Can you put your name in there? Since you, God, are Ivan's rock and fortress, for the sake of your name, lead Ivan, please. What about you? Is he your rock and fortress? Do you realize that it's his name that gives him the strength to be able to take care of you, to lead you and guide you? If you don't, ask about it. I'm always here too. I'm glad you came. You are dismissed. I'll see you next week.